NASA and some of the other people for years has been trying to listen to the out there, the universe, and trying to communicate with somebody. But what they have found was some of the things in the Milky Way, stars, and they've been able to, with computer animation and different things like that, and they can take and they can add sounds, and it actually, and you can, I'll give you the website if you want to look at it, you can actually hear it, and it sounds like piano music, string music. It's just beautiful music. So the question for us is, what kind of music moves you? Now, I can tell you, most of the stuff that I like is instrumental music, to some of the old 50s, 60s music. Not so much the voices of it, but the instrumental music of those songs are absolutely beautiful. And then I get some of the other ones, and then you got, they call it a worm, earworm, that a song will get stuck in your spirit. You ever have one stuck in your spirit? Well, what kind of music moves you? If you think a moment of a tune that a song completely captivates you, maybe even softens your heart or reduces stress entirely, it engages you in that moment and it immerses you in bliss. Much like the sound waves of crashing ocean onto the rock. They also got commercials on there now. Brown noise, blue noise, green noise, and they can, you buy this thing and it'll help you sleep. One of them is sounds of the ocean crashing on the rocks. But certain sounds and sound waves contain frequencies that resonate with us and entirely changes our focus. There's a gentleman by the name of Michael Terrell. I don't know if you've ever seen it. He's got a little book. I shared this with Travis when I first came here. String music, and if it put into the right megahertz, has healing qualities. And he relates back to when King David was playing the harp, and how when Saul got distressed, he would call upon David as a child, and David would play the harp, and it would soothe Saul's emotions. So certain frequencies resonate with us and changes our focus and our mood and makes us more spiritual aware. Now, psychologists have known this for years, that music changes our brain, and studies show that those who listen to music, particularly certain kinds of tunes and frequencies, develop a greater capacity for empathy. Music triggers hormones, and it's responsible for bonding and trust and intimacy. That's why listening to a lot of praise and worship music during your course of the day will help you keep the devil away, so to speak. It's like I always said about Proverbs. The world says an apple a day will keep the devil away. The book of Proverbs says a proverb a day will keep the devil away. So I digress. Much of this has to do with the resonance and the frequency of tone, as well as the rhythm that is created for us. Our entire universe is made up of different frequencies. And what does the universe sound like? I'll give you that website if you would like it, and you can check it out. Phil had recorded it for me, but the thunderstorm had other ideas. So to expand our knowledge of sound waves, NASA has been experimenting, as I said, for a long time, converting these images in space into sounds. The Hubble telescope and some of the other things, the satellites that we put up there, they take this stuff and they work on it and they try to get the sounds and the instrumentation to the various wavelengths. So this is a musical rendition of the Milky Way, this thing that we were going to play. It's fascinating. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. But think about the tuning fork. I remember the tuning fork in music class when we were in school. The tuning fork is a very interesting piece that helps with music. And I think the tuning fork sometimes helps us to align with God and resonate the true source of frequency in the heart. The heart's call, if you will. sound therapy, uses frequency to assist focus and to engage and encourage inner harmony and empathy and intuition, and more importantly, as she found out, holistic healing. Perhaps that's why when we engage in prayer and in meditation, when we connect our hearts through music, our hearts resonate with God's voice, God's frequency, God's presence in our lives in ways that move us, change us, and more importantly, heal us. So whether or not you engage in musical meditation or whether certain kinds of music simply touches your heart and increases your faith, we know that when our heart beats to the rhythm of God's pulse, when our soul resonates with the frequency of God's Spirit, we feel God's presence in our heart and it responds. I call it holy bumps sometimes, and you get those and something just hits you right and you can just feel God's presence within you. With faith, with emotion, with empathy and compassion for others around us. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your heart resonates, there is your treasure. So our inclinations and tendencies towards either selfishness or empathy or outlook on life or relationships, faith, God, they all issue from the rhythm of our heart. You ever feel your heart beat? I know sometimes when you take somebody's pulse, but you can take your own pulse and you can feel your heart beat. And God's rhythm of your heart connects with our heart, and the peace that passes all understanding comes upon you. So the scripture that I share today, a man approached Jesus. Somebody in the crowd who had surrounded him all day, maybe acknowledged him as a rabbi, a teacher of the law. He shouted, "Hey, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And as always, when Jesus is approached by people with legalities, Jesus instead responds relational. He says at first, "Who appointed me as judge over your reference to you and your brother?" And then he continues, "Hey guys, watch yourself. Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possession. Even when someone is very wealthy, your life is determined by your residence and your relationship with God. Your wealth does not determine the state of your heart." And I want all of us to hear that, because sometimes we can imagine that Jesus somehow only has a heart for those without need, that he did. He ministered to the poor. He ministered to the rich. He ministered to everybody. Because it isn't wealth itself that causes someone to falter, but how the heart describes treasure. Now, Jesus tells a parable about a wealthy man whose land yielded abundant crops, and he has surveyed his wealth, and he said to himself, "Self, what will I do?" And this is always the heart question, I think. Because when faced with a decision, what we depend on and where our priorities are and what songs in our heart, that chant of the self or the song of the Spirit. Man said, "Hey, here's what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns and I'll store all my goods and I'll take it easy and enjoy myself." You remember what Solomon said? Eat, drink, and be happy. But if you read the end of Solomon, in chapter 12, it tells you exactly the conclusion that Solomon came to, and it wasn't that. So tonight, you might die, guy. And then what is use of all those goods that you stored up? For there is something more valuable than material things, and that is the treasure of your relationship with God. Jesus called being rich towards God. Wealth is not about money. Wealth is not about richness of your life. How is your life most enriched? It does by the treasure that lies in your heart. These are important questions for all of us who have wealth, because there's nothing wrong with wealth. There's good, but you've got to make sure you keep proper focus on it, that it doesn't corrupt you. But the inclinations of those who may look at their wealth and put all their attention and desire upon it That's where the corruption lies. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:11, it's not what we put into our mouth that corrupts us, but what comes out of our heart. You see, the heart is the source of all value. The actions that are reflection on whom and what that we love. So our true treasure, according to Jesus, lies in the music that sings deeply in our soul. And when we hear the voice of God and the call of Christ, our hearts respond by resonating richly. Then we feel the authenticity and the veracity of who we are and who we are in Him. So when God is near, our soul leaps for joy in God's presence with those holy bumps. And we know that our entire being is resonating with the heartbeat of our Creator. So when we attune our lives and our hearts into the Jesus frequency, His way, His truth, and His life, the Word, Jesus, manifested in the flesh and dwelt among us, is the way to life. And He has shown us the way. Discover the purpose, not only in the authentic purpose and call in your life, but our hearts then begin to resonate more deeply and fully with those around us. And we become compassionate and empathetic, and we are caring creatures, if you would, and we echo God's voice and intent for creation. God loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's how much God loves us. So no matter how much wealth you may bless at your doorsteps, when our heart is staying rooted in Christ's love and mercy, our actions then will follow. So our heart determines our treasure. It's a simple theory. It's very difficult in actual practice. But we easily would rather blame wealth than to look inward at our own inclinations. One of the steps in the recovery program comes out of Deuteronomy. Do a fearless and moral inventory of ourselves. We're the only one that can do that. We're the only one that can really control what's in our heart and what we focus on. But remember this, many wealthy people supported Jesus' ministry, and many wealthy people have done magnanimous and generous deeds within the church. Amen to that. So Jesus does not chastise the man for what he has. He just warns him about where he is placing his value. God does not ask to deprive ourselves or decline to take care of ourselves or others around us as we should. The Christian faith does not celebrate self-inflicted destitution. We must neither long for more and more things or deprive ourselves of what we need. God wants us to have what we need, but also to share in our abundant blessings with others. So today, as we prepare to take Holy Communion, the Last Supper, the Eucharist, Jesus commanded us to gather often and do this in remembrance of Him, that we realize that not only are we forgiven by what Christ has done for us, but it's also a time to reflect and to know really, truly our relationship with the living God through Christ. So today, how you will answer? Jesus asks you this. What defines your life? Does your love and devotion to God define your life, or something else that has replaced God in your heart? Or does your heart align with God's perfect pitch? Does the maestro of the universe inform the state of your heart? And does your soul leap with joy when you sense God's presence? Does your spirit resonate with the voice of the Holy Spirit of Christ within you? The Holy Spirit is the key as modern-day disciples. And you can continue to talk to the Holy Spirit all day long and continue to refresh your spirit. He's always with you. So if you know where your treasure lies, your deeds will also follow. Your goals, your inclination, your empathy and compassion for others will flow from your heart like the blissful sound of the angels. And God's voice will resonate in your spirit for all this year. Church, lift up your voices. And you don't know, up here, the acoustics in this little church, even a small amount of people here, when you all sing, I mean, it is just like lifting up music in God's presence, and it just washes over. It's like the crashing of the waves of the sea. And I am blessed to hear you sing. And I know that God will bless you in every act that you do and resonate with the healing power of your Creator.